Today's shiur in Maseches Bava Basra will be Daf Kuf Samach Zayin Amud Aleph. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shi'ur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. As we look at the upper part of Daf Kuf Samach Zayin Amud Aleph in Bava Basra, we will notice in our marked Gemaras, on the outside margin, a topic heading. In our marked edition, the Shas Ozer, we provide a topic heading and structural notes, topic headings called Nosei and structural notes called Mivne. In this case, our topic heading is a general one, Nosei Kloli. We have a general topic at hand, Mikrim, incidents, Vidugmaos, and examples, Shel Ziufim, Bishtar, of Ziufim, of forgeries that can take place in the preparation of documents. In addition, we have a Nosei Mivne, a local topic heading, with a structural note. We will see in our Gemara a geometric form that opens our sugya, a house form, and in this case surrounding Abaye's name. So we've indicated on the side here the house form, as you can see in the outside margin, with Abaye in quotation marks. He is the one that appears on a couple of occasions. Eitzois shel Abaye beinyan ksiva besof hashtar oi besof hashura. These are pieces of advice that Abaye offers regarding the writing of a document at the end of the paper, or at times this concerns a line, that what appears at the end of the line. Eitzos elu heim kedei limnoa ziyuf. The advice that Abaye will be giving is designed to prevent ziyuf. In our note here, you notice the word basof in another geometric form. We call it the volcano form. As you can see in the Gemara, the issue of end of either end of document or end of the line will be the topic of our attention. So let us turn to the Gemara. Omar Abaye, Hai man, deboi lemechve chasimus yode bevedina. Hai man, an individual, deboi lemechve, that has to show or demonstrate chasimus yode, his signature, bebeidina, in a court, lo lechvi besof megilta. He should not sign his name at the bottom of the paper. In other words, if he has to show his signature to Beis Din so that they can verify other documents that already have his signature, this you have in banks to this very day where they have a sample signature on record. Abaye is telling us, don't write on a blank piece of paper your name. Don't sign your name at the bottom of a blank piece of paper. And why not? Dilma mashkech la acher. It could be someone mashkech will find it. Some other person will find this piece of paper. Vekosiv, and he will write on this blank piece of paper with your signature at the bottom, demasik beizuzi, that the signer owes money. For example, he might write that I, who am signed at the bottom, am chayev $200 to so and so. The Gemara continues, utnan, and we have a Tanaic source, and you can see in our markings a Tanaic source in a frame. The Tanaic sources that the Gemara quotes, whether they be Mishnayos or Brises in our marking system, have frames around them. Hotzi olov ksav yodoi shu chayav lo. If a person produces a document with someone's signature at the bottom, and the document indicating that the undersigned is in debt to so and so, goyve minachosim b'nei chorin, the possessor of that document can collect from the undersigned's property, those properties that he currently holds. Those are Nechosim v'Nechorin. This is as opposed to properties that he may have sold to others in the meantime, known as Shibudim. So the source is telling us that if you produce a document with someone's signature at the bottom, and in the document the signer indicates, I owe so-and-so money, the one pulling out the shtar can use that as a means of collection. Hence, Abaye's advice, don't write your name on a blank piece of paper, don't sign your name on a blank piece of paper, for this danger could arise. The Gemara continues, Hahu Bazvino, there was an incident involving a tax collector, a Jewish fellow, the Osula Kamei d'Abaye, he came to Abaye, the tax collector said to Abaye the following story, or the following advice. Nechsi li mor chasimois yodei, show me your signature. In other words, sign your signature on a piece of paper so that I can identify how you sign your name. Dechi osu rabbonon machvuli, so that when other rabbis or students of yours come and show me your signature, ma'avarno lehu, I will enable them to cross the river or cross the border. That's a point at which these tax collectors would collect their tolls, and I will ma'avarno lehu, enable them to pass below Mechsa without having to pay. So Abaye saw this as an opportunity to help out his colleagues and students. Achvile Beresh Megilta. So Abaye happily, he demonstrated his signature by signing the top piece of a paper. Have Konogid Bey. While Abaye was trying to sign, get himself ready to sign the document, Nogid Bey, the tax collector was pulling the paper so that the signature should come out at the bottom of the page. Amale, Abaye caught on very quickly, and he says, what are you, a wise guy? He says, Kvar kidmuch rabbonon. The rabbonon already were one step ahead of you, and they knew what you and your like were up to. Omar Abaye, mitlas v'ad eser. If a person is writing a document, and he needs to write these numbers, plus 3 until Esther until 10, and in the course of his writing it comes out that they at the end of the line these numbers may appear, lo lichtoiv besoif shita, he should arrange it that the appearance of these numbers, plus 4, chamesh, and the like, should not appear at the end of a line. Why not? Dilmo mizayef v'kosav, because there is a fear that a person who gains possession of such a document, let's say you have someone who lent money and has this document indicating that so-and-so owes him plus dollar, he can easily add a yud and a nun to the word plus, making it talsin. Instead of 3, it will be 30. The E Isrami lay, and if it comes out that at the end of a line one of these numbers appeared, Nehedre Lidibure Train Tlosa Zimni, E Efshur Delo Misrami lay Beemsa Shita. He should review the story, Nehedre Lidibure, go over the contents of this document 2 or 3 times. That way it'll be very unlikely that the number would not appear, the lo misrami, wouldn't come out in the middle, but emtsa shita, in the middle of a line. The Rashbam points out, based on a Mishnah that we learned, that when you have a document and there's repeat information in it, we focus at that which appears in the later part of the document. Therefore, in the worst case scenario, if at the end of the line end of the earlier lines, one of these numbers appeared, and someone did forge it. Someone did add a yud and a nun, but because of the convenience of it having appeared at the end of the line with a margin and easily enabling someone to add those two letters, when the number appears in the middle of the line later on, we learn, if there's any discrepancy in documents, we learn from the information that appears later in the document. And therefore, this is a good solution for those cases where the numbers had appeared earlier at the end of the line. The Gemara goes on. Now we notice a new geometric form, a diamond, another one of our series indicators. And as we've mentioned in our introductory remarks, the geometric forms all have the same basic purpose, and that's to present a series. There's no inherent significance to any one geometric form. In this case, the diamond appears indicating another series, and in the outside margin we have a topic, a structural note, Mivneh, Dugmaois Shel Ziyufim Bishtar. We will have some examples of forgeries in documents. We'll also be using a double underline, one of our additional series markings, in which the phrase Oso Lekame Dabaye appears, where a case comes in front of Abaye. The Gemara continues, Hahu Dahava Kosiv Be Tilsa Be Pardesa. There was a document in which it said that I sold to so-and-so a garden, and a third of my holding in an orchard. This you can see in the Rashbam on the lower part of the narrow lines, last word on the line, Hahu de Havi Kosiv Be Tilso Be Pardeso Kachoya Kosiv Bishtar Zavinis Leploni Beginso De Isli Tilso Bipardesa. I sold to so-and-so in a garden that I owned a third of an orchard. The purchaser who gains possession of the document goes ahead and does the following. He goes ahead and erases the roof, most of the roof of the bays, the upper horizontal section of the bays, and the base of that letter of the bays, thereby transforming the bays into a vav, so that it would come out that the purchaser is holding a document saying that he purchased a garden and an orchard. Not, like we said before, a third of an orchard, but an entire orchard. Continuing in the Gemara, Ozal, so this fellow who had a document saying that he purchased Tilsa Bipardesa, a third of an orchard, Ozal Machake, he went ahead and erased Legage the base, the roof of the base, the horizontal line forming the top of that letter, Vekare, and the base of the same letter, Veshavye, and he made it into a Vav, in which case the word would now read U Pardesa. Notice with our markings we've emphasized the first letter, the original form, and the current form. Also Lekame Dabaye, the document came to Abaye. Sho'a Omar Lei, Abaye asked the purchaser, Mai Taimo Rovach Lei Almo Lahai Vov. Why is there so much space around the Vov letter? Kafte Vi Odi. He pressured him. Kafte literally could mean he binded him up. In this case, we can explain he put pressure on him. the Odeon and the fellow finally admitted his foul play. Another example. Hahu dehavakosov ve Manas Reuven Vishimon Achi. The portion or the holdings of Reuven and Shimon, who are brothers, was transferred to so and so. Havaluhu Acho Dishmei Achi. Reuven and Shimon had a brother whose name happened to be Achi. In other words, the original document had that word in which the connotation of the word was Reuven and Shimon, who are brothers. Those same fellows, Reuven and Shimon, happened to have a brother with that name. So the receiver of the property, Ozal, went, Kosav Be Vov. He added a Vov in front of the word Achi, Veshavye V'Achi, making it into that word, V'Achi, and the purchaser, the acquirer of the land, then claimed, I received the property owned by these three people, namely Reuven, Shimon, and the Vov meaning, and Achi. The case came to Abaye, who saw this document with the now added Vov in front of the word Achi. Also, Lekame, Abaye Amalei, and Abaye asked, "My taimo dochik le almo lahai vov kulehai. Why is this vov so squeezed in? Dochik le almo, so squeezed in. Kafte viodi." He pressured the fellow to tell the truth, and he finally admitted his forgery. Hahush Tora, the havei chosim ole rovo v'rav acho bar ado. There was a document upon which were signed by Rovo and Rav Acho. Also l'kamei de Rovo, the document was presented to Rovo, and as we'll see in the story, neither Rovo nor Rav Acho ever signed such a document. So Rovo looked at this and said, Omar Lei, Rovo said to the fellow holding the document, he said, Dein chasimus yoda didi hi. This truly resembles my signature. Mihu kamei derav acho bar ado lo chasimi li me'olam. However, I never signed a document together with Rav Acho bar ado. There's some foul play over here. I've signed many documents, but I never signed together with him. Kafte viodi. Rava pressured the fellow and he finally admitted the forgery. So we see this example of Kafte Viodi appearing several times in our Gemara as well. And with our markings, we like to highlight those things that are of a repetitive nature, and hence we see once again this dotted underline under the same expression. Amarle, Rava goes on to say, Bishlamo didi zaifis. All right, my signature, I can understand how a reasonably skilled individual can forge my signature. Hello, the Rav Acho bar ado, the rosis yode. However, Rav Acho's signature, whose hand shakes, Hefi avdis. How were you able to replicate such a signature? The signature signed by a man whose hand shakes. Omar, so the thief said, Anchi yadoi amatra. I put my hand on a rope bridge. And while people are crossing these kind of flimsy bridges, everything shakes, so my hand shook, and while I had my hand on the rope bridge, my arm was on the rope bridge, I signed the document. The Amri law, another version of what took place, was Kum Azarnuka, because if I stood on a skin bottle, which is used to draw water from wells, and while standing on that, my whole body was shaking, and I signed the document using his name. At this point, we come upon a new Mishnah. the note on the outside margin, no say, the topic heading, Hachonas Shtoros Shoinim. The Mishnah will talk about the preparation of different kinds of documents. Aldas mi koisvin, whose knowledge is necessary before the document is prepared, whose awareness is necessary, and secondly, mi mishalem avuram, who will pay for the preparation of these documents. We will notice a slashed underlining that takes place. We've entitled the mivne at the top, the structural note, features this marking, al mi mutal l'shalem haschar. We'll see in this Mishnah, when this marking appears, it will be emphasizing the one who is expected to pay for it. So the Mishnah opens up, Kosvin get li'ish, afa pi shein ishto imo. We will prepare a divorce document for a man, even though his wife is not there. Her awareness of the preparation is not necessary, because according to Torah law, a woman's divorce can be done even against her will, even without her agreement, as far as the Torah level of law is concerned. We're not involved right now with the actual application of halacha. When you delve into the actual application, you see that things are a bit different. V'hashovar le'isha, we prepare a receipt. The receipt that states she received her ksuba payment. So we can prepare ahead of time this kind of receipt. Afal pi she'ein bayla imo, even if her husband is not there. Ubavat shehei makiron, provided the scribe and the witnesses recognize them. The Gemara will discuss this at greater length. The issue of the receipt being prepared, even though the husband is not there, the woman who is asking the receipt to be prepared, she's in effect asking for a document that's will not be serving in her interest, and therefore it's all right if you want to do something that works against you, so to speak, because the purpose of this document is eventually to be given to the husband when he pays his ksuba obligation. So she can have this prepared. The Mishnah says, V'habal no sein schar. The husband will pay for the cost of the get preparation and for the receipt preparation. As we turn to Amud Beis, Kuf Samach Zayin Amud Beis, Kosvin Shtar Laloive, Afa Pishain Malva Imo. We will prepare a document indicating a loan was taken on behalf of the borrower, even if the Malva is not there. Why would someone do that? So a borrower who's interested in taking out a loan will want to have the document ready for immediate transfer to the lender in the event that he meets up with the man providing him with funds. The ein kosvin lamalve ad shehei loive imoi. However, we will not prepare a loan document on behalf of a lender unless the borrower is present. Otherwise, we have a very dangerous situation of someone holding a document which would indicate he can press claims against somebody. So we would never do such a thing unless the borrower is there. The haloive noisein sahar. The borrower is the one that pays for this document to be prepared. The Gemara will deal with some of these payment issues, the one who pays, by raising the question that some of these things are obvious. Of course, one will say here, I don't need the Mishnah to teach me that the borrower pays for the document. The whole purpose of the document being prepared is for his benefit. So he has the hanoah from this arrangement, so let him be the one to pay for it. It's obvious. Kosvin shtar lemoicher afal pi she'ein lokeach imoi. We will prepare a document indicating property was sold on behalf of the seller, even if the buyer is not there. V'ein kisvin lalokeach ad shehei mocher imo. However, we will not prepare a document indicating ownership of something for the acquirer, for the new owner, for the new potential owner, unless the seller is there, is present. V'halokeach nosein sachar, and the purchaser pays for this document. Once again, of course he pays for it. The Gemara will deal with why it's necessary for the Mishnah to report that. Ein kisvin shtori erusin unisuin, elo midas shnehem. The Mishnah at this point refers to two different types of documents. Shtori erusin are documents that are prepared when a couple is going to get married. The parents, the father of the bride, the father of the groom, commit themselves to financial obligations. The Rashbam makes reference to the Gemara Ksubas, Kamo Ata Noisein Lubincha Kach Vekach. How much are you giving with your son? And he says such and such. Kama Ata Noisein Lubincha Kach Vekach. How much are you giving toward your daughter's marriage? And he says such and such amount. And these things are recorded in the document. The Nisuin is a reference to the Ksuba, the marital financial obligations that are recorded in a document. These obligations, they are ones that the husband commits himself to his wife in the event that he dies or divorces her. Anyway, the Mishnah says these are prepared midas shnehem, both with the awareness of both sides. The hachoson noisein sachar, the groom pays for these documents. Ein kosvin shtar arisus vikablonus elo midas shnehem. These are work agreements. Arisus is known as a sharecropper, where he cultivates a field and a percentage of the produce goes to the one who was doing the work, and another percentage goes to the owner of the field. And kablonos is a similar arrangement, however, where there's a fixed amount that the worker agrees to provide to the owner of the field under all circumstances, whether the field produces or not. These financial arrangements are recorded in documents, and they are prepared only if both of the parties, the owner and the worker, are aware. V'hamakabel nosein sachar, and the worker, the one who receives the field to work, to cultivate, he is the one that pays for the preparation of this document. Ein kosvin shtori birurin v'chol maise bezdin elo midas shnehem. The term shtori birurin will be explained by the Gemara, and all other legal conclusions that are recorded in documents. The Rashbam makes reference to those types of documents. They're not to be prepared unless both parties are aware. Ushnehem noisnim schar. Both parties have to pay for the preparation of these documents. These are both plaintiffs, both of those that are appearing in court. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel Omer, Shnehem Koisvim Shnayim, Loze Leatzmoy, Veloze Leatzmoy. The Gemara will deal with Rav Shimon ben Gamliel later on. Before we proceed with the Gemara, let us glance at the outside margin. We have a nose, a topic heading. Yesh Tzorech Le'edim Lahakir Shemois Ha'ish Ve'isha Shebaget V'sheba Shever. There is a necessity for the witnesses to recognize the husband and the wife, their names, to recognize the people and associate the people with their names when they are preparing or signing upon a divorce document and the ksuba receipt, the shovar. we open up the Gemara and notice in the space to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara an arrow indicating Omid Aleph. That's an instruction that one goes back to Omid Aleph and tries to find a parallel arrow. And one might have to work a little hard to find it because it's actually pointing to the bottom line of Omid Aleph, where the Mishnah mentioned that the get and the shover are prepared. And Ubuvat Shem Akiron, provided the scribe and the witnesses recognize them. The Gemara wants to understand, recognize whom. My Ubuvad Shehe Makiron. What does that mean, provided they recognize them? Omar Rav Yudom Arav, Ubuvad Shehe Makir. Point Aleph, point number one, Shem Ho'ish Beget. And point number two, or Beis, V'shem Ho'isha B'shovar. According to Rav, and we're going to take it literally at this point, that it's important for the scribe and witnesses to recognize the man's name when preparing the get, and recognize the woman's name when preparing the shovar, the receipt. In the case of the get, we can say as follows: if they don't know his name, he might assume another man's identity and present the get to that fellow's wife, and she will present herself as a divorced woman and collect ksuba money from her husband. And the case of the shovar, where we're interested in, they should know the, recognize the woman's name who appears in the shovar. If they don't know her name, she will use another woman's name. She could do this. This is foul play, of course. She can use another woman's name and give the receipt to that woman's husband, who can then claim he divorced her, namely his wife, and paid her his ksuba debt to her, and here is my receipt, when no such thing ever happened. Therefore, to prevent this foul play from happening, Rav is pointing out that it's important for those parties concerned who are preparing the document to know the man's name in the get and the woman's name in the receipt. The Gemara continues, Yosef Rav Safra v'Rav Acha bar Huna v'Rav Huna bar Chinina. These three Rabbonin were sitting together, v'Yosef Abaye Gabayhu, and Abai was in their presence, v'Yasvi v'Kom Mibaya Lehu, and they were sitting, and the following question rose amongst the three Rabbonin listed here. We have in our markings a long question indicator. This is seen in the little space to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text, between the Gemara and the Rashbam. You notice an encircled kuf with a dashed vertical line indicating the length of this question. They took Rav's two points, the Aleph and Beis point, literally, and drew an inference from each point. And they asked as follows. The Aleph here corresponds to the Aleph in Rav's teaching. Shem ho'ish beget, in shem ho'ish alo, is it sufficient for them to recognize the man's name and it's not important to know the woman's name as well? And again, point Beis, shem ho'isha b'shovar, in shem ho'ish lo, is it sufficient for them to recognize the woman's name in the shovar? Notice the word at the end of line in. In Aramaic, means yes. Hence, when learning Gemara, it's very important to note the correct reading of that word, and especially the vowelization. Hence, in our marked editions, when necessary, we try to add the dot, the singular vowel called chirik, under the aleph of that word. So that, in this case, like we saw just before on the line, the word in means yes. Is it so that Rav says Shem Ho'isha B'Shover in, that is yes necessary, but Shem Ho'ish Lo, the man's name in the shovar in the receipt document is not important. So the Gemara goes on and they raise the problems that could arise. And once again, we're using the same lettering to help tie together the raised concern with the case. So Aleph corresponds to the issue of the case of them knowing the man's name in the divorce document, but not the woman's. Velechosh Dilma Kosav Gita. We can imagine the following case where they might know the man's name, but they don't know his wife's name. So he asks, this husband asks for a get to be written, and he mentions a woman's name to be written, and they don't necessarily have to know it according to the inference we drew from Rav. So let us raise concern. Velechush Dilma Kosov Gita, a get will be prepared, the Ozil. This man will go, Umamti Lei Liitse Dehech. He will go to his friend that might have the same name that he has, and give the divorce document to his friend's wife, and she would thereby claim herself to be a divorced woman. And likewise, Beis Vizimnin, in the case of the receipt, the where according to Rav, it was sufficient in the case of the receipt for the woman's name to be recognized, not the man. So a similar story could arise. Zimnin Tezil Kosvo Isha Shovar. She will go to the scribe and witnesses and have a shovar, a receipt prepared. And we said, Rav says that if they know her and her name, they'll do it. They'll do it, and according to Rav, even if they don't know the man's name, so she'll have a receipt prepared with her name written in it. The Yohavo Legavro De Lav De Law. And she'll mention a man's name that we said, we inferred from Rav, it's not important for them to know. So she'll mention a man's name that happens to be married to a woman with her name, with the same name as the woman, and then give the receipt to this other woman's husband, and he'll be able to claim that he already paid his ksuba obligation. So at this point, we come to the end of the question, the last question being that Viyavo Lagavro de Lav Dila, and this woman who's practicing foul play will give the receipt to another man whose wife has the same name that she has, and he'll claim, as we just said, that he paid his ksuba obligations when he never did. Omar Luhu Abai. Abai says to the three Rabbonon that had heard Rav's teaching and drew the above-mentioned inferences, and he points out, Hochi Omar Rav, we've dashed underlined Rav's name because Rav is the focus of this whole discussion, and he points out to them, again, we're using the same lettering as we did above to tie it in. Shem ho'ish beget, v'huadin l'shem ho'isha. That when Rav said it's important to recognize the man's name when preparing a divorce document, it's important to recognize the woman's name as well. Namely, that this man is married to this woman that has this particular name. And likewise, the base, the second case, the second example involving the receipt, Shem ho'isha b'shovar, that in addition to that, it's true, they have to know the woman's name, Buhadin, and likewise, L'shem Ho'ish. They have to know that this woman's husband has this name. However, we're not finished. We have a geometric form that appears, a diamond, one of the series indicators. We actually should have mentioned this before, a few lines up, but better late than never. Let us glance at the outside margin. You have a Mivneh. These are chashoshos, points of suspicion or concern, shema'aleh ha-gemora. We already saw the first point of suspicion, where if only one of the names in the get or shovar were known and the other name not known, what could result? So in this case, too, after Abaye reports that it's important for the scribe and witnesses to know both parties' names, there's still room for concern. V'lechush l'shne Yosef ben Shimon hadorem bir achas dilmo kosiv gita v'ozil umamti lei li'itse dehech. Is there not room to concern ourselves, to worry about another couple in town with the same names, so that you might have couple one, the man from couple one, Yosef ben Shimon, who's married to Sarah, and he, Yosef ben Shimon, goes to the scribe and witnesses and asks for a document to be, a divorce document to be prepared using his name and his wife's name, and he then gives that divorce document to the wife of the other Yosef ben Shimon that lives in town. So as we said, we'll read the last part of that question again. Dilma kosev gita v'ozul mamtile, he'll bring it over li'itze to the wife, the hech of the other couple. Omar luhu Rav Acha bar Huna. Rav Acha bar Huna was actually mentioned above in the group of rabbis that had raised their questions upon hearing Rav's presentation. And he answers here, Hochi Omar Rav. The star in the space to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text draws one's attention to the appearance of Rav Acha bar Huna earlier. By skimming up the page, you notice the parallel star. Rav Acha bar Huna reacts to this problem by saying, Shnei Yosef ben Shimon hadorim bi'ir achas, ein megarshin nishoisein elozeh bifneizeh. When you have two couples in town that have the same name, namely, the man's names are the same and the women's names are the same, they are not able to divorce their spouses unless the other couple having the same name are present. So that will solve the suspicion of this type of foul play. However, is there not room for some other concern? V'lechush dilmo ozil lemaso achriti. Is there not room to concern ourselves with the following story? A man might go to another town, umachzik lei lishmei beYosef ben Shimon, and he will assume a false identity and call himself Yosef ben Shimon and say, "Oh, my name is Yosef ben Shimon veKosiv Gita," and he'll have a get prepared, umamti lei liitze dehech, and he'll give it to the wife of the real Yosef ben Shimon in that other place. And as far as we're concerned, there's in that town, there's only one real Yosef ben Shimon. So there won't be any need on the townspeople's part to ask both couples to be present, because there's only one couple with that name. Omar luhu Rav Huna bar Chinina, hachi Omar Rav. It's interesting to note that Rav Huna bar Chinina appeared above as well, and we draw your attention to that phenomenon by the use of a double star to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara, where we saw Rav Huna bar Chinina above as well. So he says in the name of Rav, Kol shehuchsuk shmoi beir shloshim yoim, ein choshishin loy. This story of a false identity being assumed is not of any real concern to us, because a person would not walk around 30 days with a false identity. He would be fearful of being caught. The Gemara asks, that's fine and good when we have a person who's been in town for 30 days and he's been known for 30 days with his name, so we will assume that to be his real name. Lo ischazik mai. The Gemara asks, what do we do in a situation with a new guy in town who hasn't been around for 30 days? And he tells us this. He tells us this story. This is his name. And could not the above mentioned foul play take place? Omar Abaye. Abaye offers the following solution. As far as new guys in town are concerned, the koru le v'oni, we test him out by calling him from behind and see if he turns around and answers. Because Abaye's feeling is a person who's using a name that's not really his, when called by that, wouldn't react unless it's really his name. So we put him to that test. Rav Zvid, he comes into the Gemara and rejects Abaye. He says, Rav Zvid Omar, Ramo b'ram usei zohir. A thief or an underhanded character practices the false name and will know to respond when called that, and therefore we can't rely on Abaye's test when it comes to the new guy in town, and therefore there is no solution for a new guy in town, the Rashbam points out, until he's been in town for more than 30 days. As we said above, that new people or person who's assuming a particular identity wouldn't hold on to that false identity for more than 30 days for fear of being caught. As we go on in the Gemara, we notice a new geometric form, and this is explained in the outside margin, the house form, under the heading Nosei Mivneh. We've put a house form around the expression Hahu Tavro. You're going to see that here, and another example at the top of the next Omid. Hahu Tavro, the note says, Shovarim, these are receipts. She'alehem oyachosum Rav Yirmiyah bar Abba. On these receipts, Rav Yirmiyah bar Abba was one of the signers. We've indicated, emphasized his name with a double underline with dots in it, another one of our series indicators. And in this story, Ubo Ho'isha V'Te'enes, a woman comes along and claims Shelo Kibla Tashlum HaKsuba, that she never received payment of her Ksuba. V'lachin Shovar Zeh Lo Shayech Eleha, and therefore the receipt that's being presented indicating that she already received her money has no relevance to her. We will be employing another marking, which indicates something of a repetitive nature, when we come to Abaye's name. We will notice a dotted underline under Abaye, because he appears as well in the next story. So to show this type of repeat phenomenon, we mark him off as well. Let us take a look at the story. Hahu Tavro Dehavichosim Olei Rav Yirmiyah Bar Abba. There was a Tavro, a Shovor. The Tuf and the Shin interchange in Aramaic Hebrew. So the receipt document appears Dehavichosim Olei Rav Yirmiyah Bar Abba, upon which was signed Rav Yirmiyah. Asya lekamei hahi itza. The woman whose name appeared in this receipt came to Rav Yirmiyah with the claim she wants to receive her ksuba payment. Omra le, she says, lav ano havoi. I am not that woman upon whom you signed a receipt. Omar, Rav Yirmiyah bar Abba, responds to her as follows. Ano nami amri lahu, I told them, meaning the others that signed with me on this document, lav ihi hi. I told them, you know, this woman that's here, she's not the woman for whom I signed a receipt, or concerning whom I signed a receipt. the Omruli, my colleagues that were together with me in the signing, said, this is the same woman. Simply, why is it that you don't recognize her? Megash hu the kosha lo. She aged, u bogar lo kola. She physically aged, and bogar lo kola, and her voice changed as well. Bogar literally would mean aged as well. As a person ages, the voice changes. And Rav Yirmiyah goes on to say, and one doesn't see this in the Gemara, but the Rashbam completes the sentence, so to speak, and says that upon their having told me that it is the same woman and she simply aged, and I said, they're right. And being that that's the case, he says, Mrs., you did receive your ksuba, because this receipt with your name appearing in it, and we signed your receipt, indicates that you got paid already. Omar Abaye, Afagav di Omar Rabbanon, even though in general there is a rule with regard to testimony that states the following, Kevon Shehigid Shuv Eino Chozer Umagid, that once someone offers testimony, one cannot retract and say something different. Surba merabonon lav urche lemedak. A Torah scholar is not customary in paying very close attention to physical aspects of women. Hence, in the story over here, when Rav Yirmiyah said that initially I told them that this is not the woman, his commitment to that conclusion is not binding, because when he said, this is not the woman who's a shovar I signed, it was Rav Yirmiyah speaking, a great Torah scholar, and he doesn't take that careful note of the physical aspects of women, and hence when he retracted his comment based on their enlightenment that this is the same woman, she simply aged, he was able to change his original conclusion and say that in fact when I first said what I did, I didn't take careful note of her, but now that you're pointing out it is the same woman, I took closer note of her, and in fact she is the same. With that, we conclude our sheet for